in the poster, and I'm like, oh, the daughter's black. I gotta watch this now.
That's when I knew, like, when they had a dark-skinned mom and a dark-skinned daughter, I was like, oh, no, these people are committing. They, like, this person says black people. Hello, everyone. This is Alex.
And this is Em.
Welcome to the latest episode of The Good, The Bad, The Basic.
This is the podcast for anyone who enjoys binging new TV series and revisiting old favorites. On this podcast, we'll be discussing what we love, what we hate, and what's just a bit problematic about the TV and movies that we're addicted to, though not necessarily in that order. This week, we'll be continuing our first impression season with a discussion on the reboot of the iconic 80s and 90s coming-of-age series, The Wonder Years.
The Wonder Years was one of the most iconic shows for younger Gen X and older millennials, a series where, through the eyes of an initially 12-year-old, middle-class suburban white boy, we get a glimpse at life growing up in the late 60s and early 70s. This risky reboot does the exact same thing, with a protagonist growing up in Montgomery, Alabama. The Wonder Years doesn't just deal with the typical issues of a preteen boy, but the greater issues of a highly segregated America. So is the bold, new, melanated series any good? Is The Wonder Years worth watching? Stay tuned.
All right, everyone, here are some critical details on the new Wonder Years. It is a coming-of-age series, and it's also classified as a comedy. It is airing on ABC, and it was released September 22nd of 2021. It is currently in its second season. It was created by Saladin K. Patterson, and it was inspired by The Wonder Years, the initial series created by Neil Marlins and Carol Black. The series stars Elisha Williams, aka EJ Williams, as Dean Williams, our protagonist. Don Cheadle is the voice of older Dean and our narrator. Dulé Hill stars as Bill Williams, Dean's father, a music professor, and a jazz band member. Saekon Sangbloh stars as Lillian Williams, Dean's mother and an office worker slash secretary. Laura Kariuki as Kim Williams, Dean's older sister. Amari O'Neill as Corey Long, Dean's best friend. Julian Lerner as Brad Hittman, Dean's other friend, and the token Jewish child of the series. Milan Ray as Kisa Clemens, Dean's friend and crush. Richard Gant as Granddaddy Glisby, Dean's granddad and Bill's father. And a guest character, but an important one nonetheless, Spence Moore II as Bruce Williams, Dean and Kim's older brother, who is fighting in the war. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about the new Wonder Years. First up, let's talk about this new cast.
Yeah, so Saladin, Saladin K, what's his face? Oh my God, no, I'm sorry. Let's try this again.
Saladin A. Patterson?
Yes. It's so interesting because, like, this person, I'm dead sure, and I'm Googling just to, like, make sure I'm correct. This is somebody who, like, came up off Blackish, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like,
and that is very shocking to hear.
Same. Yes. Yes, it is. And I remember thinking, Father God, what are we going to do? It's like, ooh, like, I just remember thinking, this is gonna be a time, but, then it wasn't, like, it was, okay, no, I'm thinking about somebody else. Lies. No, this is somebody who worked on the Bernie Mac show. This is always gonna be a hit. So,
okay. I love me a blackity black family.
Family, okay. This is always somebody who's gonna serve us. So, like, yeah, this was one of the reboots that I was very like, why are we doing this? This is not needed. I don't wanna, like, please no, let's stop. Let's just all go home, like, Father God. And very much along with Abbott Elementary became one of my absolute favorite new offerings in the current climate. Like,
listen, I don't know what ABC's end game is, but I like all this Black content coming out of there.
Listen, I'm with the shits. So yeah, so like you said, this cast is great. We've got sorry, I just want to make sure I'm saying the right. Yes, Dulé Hill. Dulé Hill and Hill Harper are two very different people, but they have similar names, and sometimes
it's the hill.
It's the hill of it.
Yes.
But we have Dulé Hill as the dad, who, if you know Dulé from Psych and other stuff, but mostly Psych, I think, was like his big show that he used to be in. And he's very famously picky about the things that he does. I think that's why. That's also like another reason I think I confuse him and Hill Harper, because both of them, I think, have said on record at one point in different interviews that they are like very specific about the roles that they play, and they get offered a lot of stuff, but they want to present like positive images of Black men. So like they turn down a lot of stuff very famously. So it's great to see him like in another sort of half hour drama, which is definitely his bread and butter, because Psych was that. We have the mom who, what's her name again?
Her name is Lillian.
Lillian and Laura Karakuki, who is so wonderful. And then the boy who plays Dean, who I don't know him from anything previous. Do you know him from anything previous?
No, actually, this is his very first series, according to Wikipedia. They could be wrong about this, but yeah, this is the first time this little boy has done anything. And honestly, he's knocking it out of the park. He's really charming and lovable as Dean.
Yeah, it's just like, so yeah, it's Saladin, and it's this really warm, wonderful, beautiful show. Like, I watched it and I was like, this is incredible. This is great. I love this. I think it's really good. I think it's good to show the I think it's valuable to show the diversity of experience with regards to when we're thinking about the past, particularly even, yeah, now at this moment, because we are going through another sort of racism is on the rise, fascism is on the rise, and people are very desperate. People are, like, hurting people. There is a lot of stuff in the world that's that is, like, horrific, and there's terror, right? But there is like a middle ground in that there is terror, but there are still people who are living their lives. I definitely think about that now. Like, you know, we are at the beginning of, not the beginning, but yeah, maybe the beginning of a climate crisis, and yet you and I are doing this podcast. We're living our lives. Right. So that is sort of the mindset of the show, is that it's like, yes, it is the South. Yes, the South was like a terrorized Black people at this, like, at the moment that they are living. And yet there was life, and yet there were families, and they went on and did their best and had, you know, positions and still were doing things. And it makes for like a really rich show, because the show is definitely still like holds to the core tenets, I think, of the original show, in that like it is just a slice of life. It is just about just life and what it means to live and what it means to be human. But it's made all the richer from being, okay, well, like, what does it mean to be human and still and try to retain and live your inner life and your inner humanity, even while understanding that there is this existential threat on who you are.
Yes, exactly. And we kind of got this with the first Wonder Years, which was centered on Kevin Arnold. Now, we never really knew where Kevin Arnold and his family lived. They lived in somewhere suburban white America. Sometimes the family license plate said New York, sometimes said California. So we didn't know, and the writers didn't want us to know. But they were living through like the Vietnam War, right? He was like coming of age during the Vietnam War. And the same is true for Dean Williams and his family, except that he's also dealing with being Black in one of the most segregated states in one of the most segregated cities in the country. And despite this, the show doesn't lose that overwhelming charm and innocence that it has, where our focal point, our protagonist at the end of the day, is a 12-year-old boy who is just growing in this environment. And yeah, the war is in the background and the racism is kind of can oftentimes be in the foreground, but at the end of the day, he's just a boy who wants to hang out with his friends, play baseball, and kiss a pretty girl.
Right.
Which is, it's nice. And I think the writing on the show does a really great job of balancing those two things really well and never making the show feel too light and frivolous or too heavy.
Yeah, I agree. I think, yes, that's what makes it super rich. I mean, that's what why I really loved it. The show isn't like trying to shy away from like hard things or the hard truths that they're living through, but it does do it in a way that is that has care. They do it in a way that has care, and that's something that a lot of people can't do. That's just something that a lot of people, I think, right now in writing some of these shows don't know how to do.
Oh yeah, for sure. And we like to use the word nuance a lot when someone's trying to like play devil's advocate or trying to like make a case for a wrong that they see as right. But this is what I mean when I say we need more nuanced writers. We need people that can navigate the spectrum of what it means to be a person, specifically what it means to be a child. Because this is childhood pretty much anywhere you go on Earth. Everything that's happening in the world around you is honestly in the periphery for you. Children have tunnel vision, and we often want the same things. We want to enjoy our childhood. And writing about this in a way that it resonates with both children and adults as well is really hard to do. So props to the writers for getting that done. I think they did a fantastic job. And, you know, back to the casting issue as well. It is so refreshing to see an all Black family where everyone's the same skin tone.
Listen, we love it. I'm not even going to hold you. When Laura comes out in the first episode, I was like, Father God, yes, this is mine.
That was like my biggest thing too, when I was thinking about the reboot of this show. And this is when I decided to actually watch the show. I saw Laura Kiruki, who plays the sister Kim, in the poster. And I'm like, oh, the daughter's Black. I gotta watch this now.
That's when I knew, like when they had a dark skinned mom and a dark skinned daughter, I was like, oh no, these people are committing. This person says Black people.
Right. And even the brother, who we've only seen in like a total of, I think it's one episode by now, right? We've seen Bruce. Right. He came home and then he re-enlisted. He also, like, listen, and it's not just, and someone's going to say, it's not just, Black comes in all shades, like family.
Yes, we know, but somehow there's never any dark-skinned people.
Exactly. Or the Black-skinned people are just very conveniently the men. And we're not going to pretend like we don't associate dark skin with masculinity and light skin with femininity. Yeah, but it's also more than that. I feel like their features match, right? Like the mother, the father, and the sister, not so much EJ, Dean. But the mother, the father, and the sister, they have matching facial features as well.
Listen, very, very good casting. Very good casting.
very good. Like, I believe these people are related. Same. The cops believe these people are related.
Oh my gosh. So very refreshing. An oasis. And
they have this like young mom. They have a woman who's actually old enough to have children that age. Thank you for that.
That's true. Yeah, that's another thing I really appreciate about the casting of the mom. I feel like every mom on TV right now is like, has like a BBL and like a tummy tuck and a titty lift. And this is like a woman who is
either still, that or looks like a yoga or Pilates instructor.
Yeah, this is a woman who she is very beautiful, but she's very beautiful. She's very normal, but she looks normal. Like, she looks like a mom. She looks like a woman who works, who has had some kids, and has a family. Like, just, you know, typical mom.
Right, right. She absolutely has that look. And, like, for Black people specifically, I feel like every Black person who watches this show, their mom or their aunties or their grandma when she was young looked like this.
Very much so. Like, and listen, I'm not saying that, like, you weren't, like, no, yeah, I think so. Like, she reminds me of my friends' moms. She reminds me of my mom. She reminds me, she is every Black mom. If there is a universal Black mom, she is definitely in that sort of, that archetype. And it's really, it's just really nice. Love to see it.
Love to see it. Love to see it. And I think the show also deals really well too with the dynamic between the parents and their children. Like, you know, Black people are fighting to end segregation, right? That's like a prominent issue in the background of this, of the series. But at the same time, you have this woman who's expected to be everybody's everything at work, right? She puts in the work, and then she's the one who's always, like, bringing things in for, like, office parties, right? So it's like she's kind of used almost like as like a maid there, even though she's not. And then she comes home after working the same amount of hours that her husband does, and she's the sole caretaker of the home as well. She does all the cooking and she does all the cleaning, and that's like another thing as well. Like, what is, I think the show really shows in that way, even though she's not our protagonist, what it was like to be a Black woman and the expectations placed on Black women, especially those who had families in that time period.
Exactly. I think there is, yeah, no, exactly. I agree with that. So what I also really love about the show are the stories, I think there are a lot of different things that the show brings up that have a universal appeal and that still feel relevant, but just in general, just really nice stuff. Like, I really love the characters, really love the stories. I love that Dean is, like, super into science. I love that Kim is, I love that Kim is simultaneously, like, really super smart, but also just kind of, like, wants to party all the time.
Yes. I mean, I honestly think she's definitely the more complex character on that show. She's really beautiful. She likes to party. She's super smart. And, like, she's trying to see, like she's trying to find her voice in this era, right? Like, am I an activist? And am I, you know, should I be in the background? Like, what do I, like, it's kind of her coming of age story too, low-key.
It is, very much so. It really is. She's also just trying to find her way. Oh, Kim.
I love that. I really love that. I think the utilization of the sisters is actually quite good. And I hate to compare it to the original Wonder Years, but I have to. This is the inspiration material. In the original Wonder Years, Kevin also had an older brother and a sister, except it was the sister who was the eldest and the brother was living in the home with him. And his brother, Dwayne, was kind of used as a foil to Kevin in a lot of the material. And while Dean and Kim have their issues, they really have each other's backs for the most part. Yeah. And we see the ways that they grow together and grow separately as people. And it's not kind of like, this frenemy relationship that Kevin and his brother had in the original Wonder Years, which I also appreciate, because honestly, that relationship that Kevin had with his brother is not sustainable in a Black household. The parents would not tolerate it.
Yeah. All of that. Yeah. Just a lot. It's a lot. which I love. They have a very typical, like, older sister. Dean and Kim have a very typical older sister, little brother, like, vibe and, you know, rivalry and jabs. It's super great, you know, but it's also, something I also really like about the show. There was an episode recently. So the show is very much like a sitcom. Like, all the episodes are very self-contained. There's no sort of overarching arc. It's very much like a Bernie Mac show or a Wonder Years, obviously, or like a My Wife and Kids, where there's no real, like, serialized arc throughout the season. Each episode is just its own thing. But I love the issues. I love a lot of the different issues that the show tackles. And one of them that I actually really liked was one that was from, like, this current season, the season two that, like, recently aired. And they talk about, but the episode is really about just, like, how, what's the dad's name again?
Bill.
How Bill kind of, like, slacks off as a father with regards to Kim, which I thought was really interesting. Like, he can't sort of be emotionally available for her, and how, like, that is a fault of his as a father.
Yeah, I thought that was really great too. Like, oh, and for reference for anyone who's listening, I did say we're in the middle of season two. That season is going to be ending on August 16th. But yeah, I thought that was a really great thing to say. Because to be fair, there's a lot of fathers like this. Some of them do it with all of their kids. Some of them, you know, choose a kid or a gender of kid to do this with. But a lot of fathers don't know how to be anything but a disciplinarian to their daughters, so they choose not to be anything at all.
Right.
Like, I don't know how to raise a girl.
Right. It's like, well, you have to, because that's, you know, your child. But no, that's really real. What's one of your favorite episodes that you really liked?
I really, really loved a few episodes. I love the episode where Kim got a job as a waitress. And, like, you know, she was getting pushback from the other waitress, and she thought, like, this woman was just being super racist to her, when really she was just pissed off because another waitress at the restaurant was, like, hurting her pockets. Mm. So I enjoyed that, you know, that little bit of perspective that they both got on that episode. I enjoyed the episode where Dean went to his Jewish friend Brad's bar mitzvah. That was a great episode. And I really enjoyed the episode where he went to work with his mother and, like, really got, like, a firsthand seat in how hard this woman works all day long. Like, no breaks.
No, same. Those are good ones. I also really loved the another recent one where Dean and Bill are, like, in New York City, I guess, for the summer. Mm-hmm. And Titus Burgess guest stars. And they have a conversation about an episode about blackness and queerness and being black and queer at that time. And, like, what that meant, and, like, being apart, but yet separate. And then that tension but ultimately coming together and having a firm understanding of each other, which I thought was really wonderful and beautiful.
Yeah, I thought that was a great episode too. Like, honestly, I haven't seen a bad episode of this show. I really haven't. I think one of the hardest episodes to get to was a episode where their brother Bruce, you know, comes home and then realizes he can't find a job here and then re-enlists. And that was tough to watch.
Right. No, that was such a big, big, deep episode. So much. Because they're all shocked, but then, you know, but people did that, so.
Yeah, especially black people. Because you have to understand, he's coming back to an era where he's coming back to Montgomery, he's coming back to Alabama. It wasn't going to be easy for him to find a job regardless. But he's going where not only will there be work for him, like, he'll be valued and respected. And that was something that was difficult to find for a lot of black people in the workforce then. And now, let's be real.
Right. They do bring that up, and it's really significant in the sense of, like, so after, yeah, a lot of GIs from Vietnam, like, came back to unequal treatment and, you know, still sort of just not being able to do that anymore, essentially.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the show has a lot of great episodes. I feel like there's a beautiful lesson to be learned on every episode. So it's in that vein, it's very similar to its predecessor. There's like a moral. There's some deep, big principle that we're supposed to like take away from the episode. But again, this is a Black family in the 60s. So everything is framed vastly different. And I think that difference is necessary. And it's really engaging to watch.
Same. I agree.
So what are our takeaways on this series insofar as its predecessor? Do you think that without the original Wonder Years, this show as an original idea could stand on its own?
Yeah, I think I do. I think that's what's sort of sad and upsetting about the fact that it even had to be under the sort of quote unquote Wonder Years IP, because I think it's a very strong show by itself. The show is sort of like living in limbo right now due to the strike. I don't know if the whole first season, the whole second season is finished, but you can absolutely watch the first season. And I hope you do. I hope you put it along on your list with Abbott Elementary, because I think this is an equally worthy and wonderful and beautiful show that's singularly special.
Absolutely. And honestly, I also hope that not only does the series get renewed for a third season, but that, you know, they get these writers their money right and the strike can end so that this show doesn't have to.
I agree. Because there's just a lot of wonderful talent and wonderful talent and wonderful people doing wonderful things.
Absolutely. So what is our grade on the Wonder Years? Is it good? Is it bad? Or is it basic?
I'm giving it a solid good.
I concur. My grade is also good. And there you have it, folks. This is everything that we think made The Wonder Years good, innovative, and charming. If you'd like to check out this series, The Wonder Years is airing on ABC and streaming over on Hulu and Disney Plus. If you've enjoyed this episode of The Good, The Bad, The Basic, be sure to share it with your friends. If you're a patron, be sure to check out our The Wonder Years playlist if you haven't already. We'll be sure to update it as the series continues. Tune in next week as we continue our first impression season with our thoughts on yet another reboot, Netflix's That 90s Show.
The Good, the Bad, the Basic is currently streaming on all major podcast platforms. So be sure to tune in to our regular weekly episodes on the go. Leave us a review on your preferred platform and share our weekly episodes on your social media. Follow us at The Good, the Bad, the Basic on Twitter and at Good, Bad, Basic Pod on Instagram to get in on our daily content. Also, be sure to follow our SoundCloud page, The Good, The Bad, The Basic, where all of our regular weekly episodes debut. If you love this sort of content and want more, become a show producer and patron over on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com/goodbadbasic. Your support allows us to keep bringing you our regular weekly episodes as well as exclusive bonus material. Until next time, bye everyone.